Welcome back, everybody. This is the producer of Cairo Nights, Mr. Sugar Shane Peterson, and I've got some more Best of Cairo Nights here for you. This one is with the, you know, the lovely, the always, you know, cared about Mr. Billy Sunshine, the liberal menace, to come in and talk about an article that, you know, described a recent Trump rally as a masterclass in cult mind control.
All right, so Billy, live from beautiful Miami, Florida. You're not live, Billy. We're pre-recording this in advance. Because what, are you going to be on a plane, Billy, when I'm doing the show? What's the deal? Why can't you do this live?
You'd like me to crawl back like the Bataan Death March, probably.
No. I want you to sit in your first class seat and enjoy, you know, the lovely cocktails and, you know, I'm harassing whoever is sitting next to you. So, Billy, you sent me this article from rawstory.com, a website that I've never been to, and the title of it is a very provocative article. It says, Trump's latest hate rally, a masterclass in cult mind control. Wow, Billy. Wow. This is some strong language here. I wonder how they feel about daddy. Probably not very good. And then you said that your friend had read this to you, and they had read you a section of the speech. And I just, correct me, Billy, is this the section that you were talking about? The very same people, again, this is Donald Trump from over the weekend. The very same people who piously claimed to be the ones defending democracy are the ones throwing open your borders, surrendering your sovereignty, defunding your police, prosecuting your politicians like nobody's ever seen before. By the way, desecrating your laws, crushing your wages, diluting your vote, and handing your country over to millions and millions of illegal foreign nationals, illegal aliens, I would call them, all without your consent. You haven't consented to that. On top of that, you had a fake, phony election.
Right?
But no matter how big or powerful these corrupt radicals may be, you must never forget this nation does not belong to them. This nation belongs to you. This is your home.
Your home.
This is your heritage. And your
heritage.
Great American liberty is your God-given right. Wow, Billy, what a fire and brimstone speech that is. Am I right or am I right? So,
yeah.
Billy, what did this evoke in you emotionally? Please tell me.
This dangerous language echoes the eliminationist rhetoric that led to the genocide in places like Nazi Germany, Rwanda, and the former Yugoslavia, and elsewhere. In this moment together, we're standing up against some of the most menacing forces, entrenched interests, vicious opponents our people have ever seen or fought against.
Yeah.
Despite great outside powers and dangers, our biggest threat remains the sick, sinister, and evil people from within our own country.
Yeah.
There is no threat as dangerous to democracy as they are. Just look at the unselect committee of political hacks and what they are doing to our country while radical left murderers, rapists, and insurrectionists roam free. Nothing happens to them.
Wow. Wow. You know, Billy, I think the hard part about this is, for as much as I like daddy and for as much as I appreciate daddy, this is, I really hope people can open up their ears and understand this. This is like Nazi language. This is like Hitler-esque.
Exactly.
I don't say that to be like hyperbolic. I would have much preferred Donald Trump over Joe Biden at this point in time. But I'm of two minds about it right now, Billy, because I have Joe Biden, who is kind of like an administrative fascist. He's kind of like a bureaucratic fascist. And then you have Donald Trump, who's like a very populist nationalist. And this is the problem, Billy, is that people hear this and they get in this war mindset when it comes to people who disagree with them. They get in this like combat mindset when it comes to like Democrats or quote unquote leftists or whatever it is. And
when can we use our guns?
Right. And that's what Madison Cawthorn said. And one of the things that I find particularly scary about that kind of rhetoric or like, I don't view someone who votes Democrat as my enemy, Billy. I just don't. If I did, I wouldn't have any friends. So, but there are people out there who don't know any Democrats, or they don't know any leftists, or they don't know any socialists, and so they don't talk to these people, and so all the input that they get in their brain is just like, these people are trying to destroy this country, and then they become so mad and embittered that they end up buying into that kind of line of rhetoric, not realizing that it's
right
Nazi
now,
language.
You may be number one or number two or whatever you are, you know, locally. But you know who's number one in America today?
Donald Trump.
Tucker Carlson.
No.
Tucker Carlson. That's who's number one.
Yeah, well, because they buy into this, or at least they sell this idea, Billy, and it's something that I don't do because I don't believe in it, and the statistics don't bear it out. But they buy into this idea that there is the Great Replacement Theory, which is a white nationalist theory. Are,
right.
are you familiar
exactly.
with the Great Replacement Theory as perpetrated
Absolutely.
By one David Duke?
You're right on it. There you go.
So for people who don't know, there is a alt-right talking point which has worked its way into mainstream Republican talking points, and it's called the Great Replacement Theory, and it's this idea that the Democrats are intentionally letting in tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands, of people from South America or from Mexico or whatever it is. And they are allowing...
To replace the white Christian voters who vote for the Republican Party.
Well, yeah, but that's level one, Billy. But then when you actually like look into it and you actually look into what these people are talking about, they get into eugenics. And the idea right. is that, and this is something that was perpetrated by some people like Charles Murray and the Pioneer Fund and all these modern day Nazis, where they were saying that if two people of different ethnicities have children together, then statistically that child has a lower IQ. Now those studies were done in the 1960s by racists, but people like Charles Murray and people like
yep.
even Douglas
yep.
Murray or any of these other characters still push the bell curve. They still
yep.
push that narrative forward, and so that is what you get when you have people talking about the issues of at the border. Instead of talking about it in terms of a legal process or a humanitarian crisis, which is what it actually is, right? You've got hundreds of thousands of people who are fleeing their awful country trying to get to America because it's great. Instead of talking about it like that, they talk about it in the using white alt-right neo-Nazi talking points. And I'm trying to warn many conservatives out there, and I'm trying to warn many even moderate Republicans out there, that when you buy into that narrative, whether it's from Donald Trump or whether it's from Tucker Carlson, you are dipping your toe into the white supremacist jacuzzi, and I hope you don't like the way that it feels, because it's gross and nasty.
Exactly.
That's what I have to say about that, Billy.
Exactly. It seduces you. It's warm and comfortable. And then you find yourself going down a silo of hatred and anger that you just may not be able to escape from.
Yeah, Billy, do you remember Harry Haft? Are you familiar with that name?
No. No. What's that?
Or his name was Herzl, I think, Haft. He was a boxer in the 1940s. He was Jewish.
Jewish.
Polish. And he had a movie was just made about him with Ben Foster. I highly, highly recommend it. It's called The Survivor. And it is about him as a Jewish man having to box in Auschwitz-Birkenau in order to survive, basically. So the Nazis used him as like a toy, basically, or entertainment. So he would like box other prisoners in order to win so that he could continue to live, right? And then it goes on to talk about his career afterwards, boxing Rocky Marciano and characters like that. And one of the things that's really fascinating about the movie is that there's a scene in it where he is talking to his Nazi handler. And this is when they're in the concentration camp. And his Nazi handler says, "I don't hate you. It's just policy." His gross Nazi handler says, it's not that I don't like Jews. It's just the policy that we have to follow.
Oh, that word.
What's so creepy about that, Billy, is that Greg Abbott, and I'm not saying that Governor Greg Abbott is a Nazi, but 2 weeks ago, he says, I don't hate Hispanic people. I don't hate people from Mexico. I'm just following policy, which is why I have to jail these people en masse and give them a kangaroo court trial, which, by Billy, do you know how these... how these immigration hearings work, not to get totally off topic, but do you know how these work?
I do not. And oh, by the way, I'll have something to say off the air with you privately about the word policy. Wait till you hear what I have to tell you.
Okay. Yeah. All right. So these immigration hearings basically like work like this. Now, the way that it's supposed to work is that someone coming from Mexico or Guatemala or whatever it is, they are supposed to come into this United States and they go to a police station or they go to a sheriff's office and they say, I need to claim asylum because I am being persecuted for my religion or whatever it is in my country of origin. And then they're supposed to get assigned a lawyer and that lawyer is supposed to then plead their case to a judge who overhears their asylum claim. The way that it works right now in the fine state of Texas is that they handcuff 100 to 150 to 200 people who are all quote unquote seeking asylum, and they bring them in like a chain gang into a massive courtroom, and then the judge.
Not how it's supposed to work.
And then the judge says, you have all been accused of crossing the border illegally. How do you plead? And then they are forced to make a group admission of guilt, at which point their asylum claim is denied.
That's and then, illegal.
Well, it's not illegal. It's what we call extrajudicial, right? So Texas is claiming that they have the ability to do this outside of the federal government, and they've had lawsuits going back and forth for the last 20 years. It is technically unconstitutional. It is not what the Constitution says about the immigration process. Now, why isn't Tucker...
But they don't have rights as an American.
The Constitution carves it out for them. That's why there is an asylum process at the federal level. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah, I hear you. Yeah.
So, but the problem is that like Tucker Carlson and Donald Trump and most Americans don't know that that's the way that it's supposed to work. So they think that everything is like kind of hunky dory and let's build a wall, when in actuality, there's like the rule of law that we have in place that is supposed to facilitate that. But that's too complicated and that's got legalese and it's much easier to say build the wall and, you know, great replacement theory and all that other stuff. There's
your steal their money while you do it.
Right. There's your lesson for today, Billy. There's your civics lesson.
Well, thank you.
You're welcome, Billy. By the way, how is lovely Miami, Billy, if I can ask?
Well, there's, you know, it's free here. It's freedom.
Yes.
But what happens when you have freedom, for example, is they don't have any laws about noise pollution.
Oh.
And nobody has a muffler. Everyone's playing their music too loud. It's it's beautiful and ugly at the same time, Florida. Very interesting.
I had the same experience in Maui, Billy, where there is, because I was in Kihei and it's a really beautiful stretch of the Maui coastline. And what I found is that on one side of the island is this like beautiful, really picturesque, very, you know, lots of homes, not a lot of apartment buildings, you know, clean streets. Cops don't use sirens on the island, Billy. It's really, so you never hear sirens anywhere. It's just really wonderful. And then on the other side of the island, it's like stack and pack housing, really poor, really gutted
out. You're talking about Lahaina?
Not Lahaina. I'm talking about, I think Hilo. Hilo. I'm talking about the opposite side of the airport.
Oh, no. Hilo's on the Big Island. We're talking about Maui now.
I'm talking about Maui, yeah. I'm talking about on the opposite side of the airport. That whole part of Maui is, like, really gutted out, and it looks really bad. So I had this similar experience on the fine island of, even though overall, Billy, I had a really wonderful time. It was very relaxing. I'm excited for you to get back out of God's waiting room alive and well, Billy, because as you and I both know.
Nobody wears masks here. I don't get COVID from this experience, it'll amaze me. Unbelievable.
But Billy, are you wearing your mask when you go places or not so much?
Yes and no. There's no point. They're trying to kill me here. Okay. They really are.
All right. Well,
and I just want to say to the governor of this fine state, gay, gay, gay. There, I said it.
Okay, good. And, oh, Billy, you know what we didn't even get into is, like, DeSantis's, like, stupid, what he took away Disney's.
Disney, right.
Their right to self-governance. And it's like, okay, dog, way to cost the local taxpayer billions of dollars. What great way to own the libs, Ron DeSantis. Wow. I mean, what a fool. All right, Billy, listen.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say.
The way it reads is just over here, it's like, Disney says either give us $1 billion or shut up.
Yeah. Well, it's going to come from the taxpayers. I don't think people realize that. Like, that's why Disney self-governs, is to remove the burden from John and Jane Q taxpayer. And now the surrounding areas, unless they work out a deal in the next year, are going to be saddled with a tremendous amount of local taxes in order to facilitate all the cops and EMTs and all the water and all this other stuff. Anyway, Billy, you're the best. I'm looking forward to talking to you again live, and we'll talk to you soon, Billy.
Take care, my man.
Wow. Love Billy Sunshine. All right. We'll take a really quick break. And when we get back, one Tariq Ansari, lonely, lonely Tariq Ansari, is going to be on the line. And I believe he wants to talk about stereotypes, is what he texted me. So we're going to have a chit chat about stereotypes and generalizations. We'll take a really quick break. We'll be right back with my very good friend Tariq Ansari and a little bit of cringe or based coming up right after this.
Hello, everyone. We are still here in the Cairo studios, me and Lisa, and we're still bringing you the best of Cairo Nights. And this one came to us from about a month ago. This is from when Mr. Tariq Ansari came in to talk about a new national experiment for a test optional college admissions.
Is it cringe? Or is it based? Tariq Ansari is here to answer that question. Man, Tariq. As our senior Zoomer correspondent, my dude, you are, let's see, you were good on Monday, good on Tuesday. This is a good week for you, my guy. This is going well.
Yeah, you know, woke up feeling dangerous on Monday, and I've carried over that motivation. I love how the intro of the segment is literally taken up a quarter of the entire segment. I love that. I think it does well for it. But
I'll say this, Tariq. Like, I need to start doing stuff different. I need to, like, because what happens in radio is that people start becoming machines. Do you know what I mean?
No, we had this conversation. No, I mean, I totally agree. But one of these days, you're just gonna be like, "All right, Tariq, sorry, sir, hi." You're like, pull it, John Curley. You're like, "Hey."
Yeah,
guess who's here?
Well, John is the master of getting right into a segment. He's really, right. really good at it, and I steal a lot of his notes for my own show. But anyway, Tariq, speaking of, by the way, stealing his notes, where are we going in the world of cringer bass today?
All right, well, for this segment, we're going to dive into the news. No, I'm just kidding. Anyways, stealing from John Curley there, he's probably going to sue me now. The thing is, we talked about, I think this was a couple months ago, we talked about SATs and ACTs and how we didn't really see a point in them, and how some high school, and like a couple years, it's going to go digital. And we basically said, hey, just get rid of it altogether. And you know what? Some of these schools listened to us, all these colleges listened to what we were talking about, and we're like, you know what? Let's make these SAT and ACTs optional for college admission. And when I say some of these schools, I mean actually a good number. We're talking about some of the big ones like Cornell, like Yale and Harvard actually made it test optional. And the results, well, as it turns out, the students who took the test versus school students who did not take the test did about the same in their classes once they arrived on campus. Test scores showed.
I know. It's crazy.
Wow.
Who would have thought?
Wow.
But the fact is, what's the point we made? That the SAT, the ACT were essentially meaningless and did not represent how good.
Yeah, I know it's true.
But like SAT and ACT don't represent where we are as students. It represents where we are is our study habits, some of the things we've done in our major of study, the classes we did there, maybe some of the exploratory ones, what we invested in that. That rounds us as a person, not some test that like, oh, I wonder if it's A, B, C, or D. No. So I'm really happy to see these universities taking notice. And I really hope in the next 10 years, the ACT and ACT are fads from the past that should go away like fanny packs. So I'm totally with this.
Okay, Tark, I was thinking about something. I was thinking about how a lot of people say you don't need to go to college, or comma, most people don't know or don't need to go to college. Have you heard that line of rhetoric from people? Have you heard that?
Yeah, people told me that a lot.
Go to a trade school. Go to you can do anything, right? Go to whatever. The more that I think about that line of logic, and I acknowledge out there that a lot of people can go to trade schools and do very well in trade schools. The more that I think about that line of logic, though, is that I think that we forget about the, and this is going to sound harsh, but just follow me down this rabbit hole. We forget about the spectrum of intelligence and how IQ or test taking, not necessarily as if you're in a fixed position, but it indicates where someone might do well within a specific profession. Does that make sense? Like, and I'm not saying, oh, if you're stupid, you have to be a laborer. That's not what I'm saying whatsoever. But I do think that for people, I'll give you an example, Tark. My friend Kay, that I went to, I was one of my my roommates in college. She was very, very bright and very, very lovely, and just an overall wonderful human being, a very thoughtful human being, a very considerate human being. She bombed out of college so fast, it's not even funny. And she said, she said, it's just not for me, the routine of it, the test taking, the studying and all this other stuff. And I said, so what do you want to do? And she said, I'm going to go cut hair. I want to go cut hair. I want to be a stylist, and I want to eventually own my own business. And I thought, you know, why would you, I was like kind of condescending about it. I thought, why would you want to go do that? Why would you want to leave the University of Santa Cruz to go cut hair? I talked to my friend Kay a couple years later. Not only did she co-own a hair salon in Los Angeles, but her business was doing really well, and she was very happy, and she was thriving in that environment. I think that we need to be more careful in so many ways with our rhetoric around, oh, you need to go to a trade school, or you need to go to a college, or whatever. I think we need to be more, and by we, I mean like when we are talking to people, we're addressing people, allowing people to navigate that realm without having such rigidity around, well, you go to a trade school, or you go to college, or whatever it is. I think we have kind of lost this idea that like some people can just kind of quote unquote do it on their own, and they're fine with that. Am I making sense? Are you following me down this kind of weird path?
I see what you're saying. Yeah. I would actually go and say this. I think the reason a lot of people do that is ego, is personal. Yes. I've done this before, honestly, where I've been like, oh, are you going to a college? Are you going to doing this? And people will never admit this. They never will, because you're the lesser for doing so. But if you admit, I mean, or if you say to someone, oh, well, actually, I'm going to, I'm going to actually do things on my own. I dropped out of a JC. I'm going to, go to, I want to be a hairdresser. I want to do, want to go into construction. I want to go into truck driving.
Start my own business, whatever it is, right?
Start my business. Exactly. Anything like that. Military as well,
Yeah, exactly. Very based.
Some people look down on that. They will never admit it, but they'll feel a little giddy inside, like, ooh, I'm above them. That's not actually reality, but it gives some people, and myself in the past, and I've changed my way since I've learned from the the Lord Jack Stein. But the thing is, I ran out of terms there. It's all
it's
good.
Fine.
But
it's
the
fine.
Thing is, yeah, it happens. But no, the thing is, the reason people do that, and the reason it still is an issue, is because we all kind of have that little bus inside of us that goes, well, you know, at least you're above them. That keeps it going. Because
right.
I mean, at the end of the day, we all are inherently selfish. Some more than others. You're very selfish, Jack.
I am.
But the thing is, yeah, thank you. But like the thing is, as long as this road continues, we're all going to be stressed out trying to find our careers, and we're not truly, truly comfortable and happy with where we are, we're still going to pull off this whole, oh, trade school, that's so sweet. Oh, I heard those are great for people like you, that kind of thing. And it's condescending and it's crappy, and I don't want to subscribe to it as much anymore, but it happens all the time.
Very based. We got to get out of here, Tarik Ansari. Where are we going in News of the World?
Well, Shane, Shane Peterson is one heck of a baseball player. He tried out for the Mariners, and he actually became the first baseball player in history to throw a ball into the third deck as a pitcher. Incredible stuff.
We'll take a really quick break. We'll be right back right after this.
Hello, everybody. We are moving right along with this installment of the Best of Cairo Nights. And this one is from about 2 weeks ago. And this is when me and Jack talked about one of my favorite comedians, Dave Chappelle, getting attacked on stage at the Hollywood Bowl.
Cairo Radio presents News of the World with Shane Peterson.
News of the World with Sugar Shane Peterson, where we go to strange and foreign lands. Lands where psychopaths jump on stage at the Hollywood Bowl and try to assault somebody with more security than the President of the United States. News of the World. Okay, so Shane, before we get into this, I just want to clarify one thing, because I was confused about this story. Dave Chappelle is performing at the Hollywood Bowl. It's like a big event. I know Earthquake was there. I know Black Star was there. I know Yasin Bey, a.k.a. What is his God-given Christian name? Mos Def was there.
Mm-hmm.
It was basically all of his buddies. Jamie Foxx is there,
mm-hmm.
and Chris Rock is there.
Yep.
He's on stage, and then a guy, I initially thought the guy had attacked him with a gun and a knife, but the way that it was written confused me. It was actually a fake gun with a knife attached to the front of it, correct?
Yes, yeah, that is okay. True. So right. This happened in Los Angeles last night at the Hollywood Bowl. Dave Chappelle is doing a set for the Netflix is a Joke comedy festival. He's up there on stage doing a bit, and all of a sudden, a guy dressed in all black jumps up and rushes the stage and tries to tackle Dave Chappelle. And Dave kind of sees him coming, moves back a little bit, and, you know, finally falls on his rear from having his ankles being grabbed. But all the guys that you mentioned before, Jack, all immediately sprinted and came out after the guy. And actually, yeah. From what I've heard from some of these different people and people who were around the backstage, apparently they roughed him up pretty good. They roughed this guy up. And this guy that we're talking about has been identified by the Los Angeles County Police Department as 23-year-old Isaiah Lee, who obviously has some vendetta against Dave Chappelle. From what rumors are being said, this is somebody who is a very far on the left, maybe a trans activist who wanted to try to attack him and make a scene and maybe even cause real bodily harm to Dave Chappelle for a lot of the comments that he's made about the trans community and the jokes that he's done in, you know, the past two or three specials that he's put out. So Lee was taken into custody Tuesday night, and it was kind of this very hectic thing where, you know, in a comedy show, comedians have to have like momentum when they're doing their set. When it comes to jokes or talking, even what we're doing, Jack, there has to be a forward momentum with what you're doing. And to have it be abrupt like that can really just shatter the whole entire thing. But out of all the people that were there, luckily, we had somebody that could really share the experience with Dave Chappelle. And that was one Mr. Chris Rock, who had this to say after the whole entire incident where everything was being restored and Dave was getting back to his set.
Was that Will Smith?
So great.
A great joke. So in seeing this, immediately what I thought of is, notice the difference between when a nobody attacks a somebody versus when a somebody attacks a somebody. Now, in my humble opinion, Will Smith should have been arrested for slapping Chris Rock. Just to throw it out there.
Yep.
For some reason, we all decided to forget that we watched a full-grown man assault a man and then walk off stage, and everybody left him alone because he is modern-day royalty. Now, do I think that Will Smith should have been roughed up in the same way that Isaiah was roughed up? No, I don't think so. But my contention is basically like this. We all agree that attacking somebody is bad, and charges are being brought, federal assault charges are being brought against the 23-year-old Isaiah Lee. where are the federal assault charges against Will Smith?
Yeah, I've been waiting for those to come out. I think it's pretty funny that the biggest slap on the wrist that he's got is he can't go to an Academy Awards for 10 years. It's like, great.
Yeah.
Who really wants to show up to that anyway? It's all for clout. Like, nobody really cares what's going on there.
Right. And this, I think it just goes to show in many ways that we do have a two-tiered justice system. Now, I understand that Chris Rock didn't press charges, but between you and me and the letter of the law, the state can still choose to press charges. They do that, for instance, in many cases of domestic violence, when the wife who is the victim does not want to bring charges, but she has actually been beaten and assaulted. And the reason that they do that is because sometimes victims just want it to end. They just want it to go away, whereas punishment actually needs to be doled out. So I'm happy that Dave Chappelle is okay. I'm really glad he's okay. I think we should all take note of the fact, though, that we do live in a two-tiered society in many ways, a two-tiered justice society, where Will Smith can go up and do effectively the same thing that Isaiah Lee did, but Will Smith gets to walk right off the stage, whereas Isaiah Lee gets tackled by a bunch of security. Yeah?
I think it would be a lot cooler if Will Smith got beat up by a bunch of rappers, too. I think that would have made it a lot more entertaining.
News of the world, where we go to strange and foreign lands, where we learn the truth of what should actually occur when somebody assaults somebody else, meaning that somebody gets arrested and charged with assault.
Yep.
I like it a lot. I really am glad that he's okay, Shane. When you were talking, I pulled up a picture of that gun knife, and he could have killed him easily with that gun knife.
He could have really caused some really serious harm, and this is outrageous, especially as me as a comedy fan and somebody trying to get in the game. Like, this is not what it needs. We need to let people tell jokes. Jokes are great.
Right. Let them tell some jokes. Hey, speaking of, by the way, Stacey Jo Ross coming in a couple of few, and we're going to be telling some jokes about me going down the rabbit hole. Shane, I went down the YouTube rabbit hole looking at pitchers intentionally throwing at batters, and I want to know why this is a thing from Stacey Jo Ross. So we'll take a really quick break. We'll be right back right after this.